Don't sit there and tell me you don't wish you'd never gone down those stairs.
So, are you gonna kill us, or... Hey everybody, you're listening to The Rest is Confetti, and I'm Macy.
And Courtney.
And this week we watched the amazing, underrated, underappreciated, under-talked about, fantastic independent film, Villains. Da da da!
With the amazing Bill Skarsgård and Micah Monroe.
Jeffrey Donovan and Kira Sedgwick.
Yes.
Which, Kira Sedgwick is not in enough stuff.
I agree.
She did that show, The Closer.
Oh yeah.
But she's not in enough stuff. She's also married to Kevin Bacon, so we love you, Kira. all right, Courtney, why don't you synopsize this film for us?
After a pair of amateur criminals break into a suburban home, they stumble upon a dark secret that two sadistic homeowners will do anything to keep from getting out.
Oh my gosh, the tension, the emotions. I broke the cry barrier with you tonight. I cried in front of Courtney for the first time because of this movie. It has an 84% on Rotten Tomatoes, which we don't normally talk about the Rotten Tomatoes score because we don't care. Because a lot of times we like movies that the critics don't like.
I agree.
We like ambiguity, and a lot of critics don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of critics...
Indie, comedy, horror, you know, the things critics shit on regularly.
Right. And a lot of critics are ass-kissers. So, yeah. I mean, sure, Spielberg and Scorsese and Ridley Scott and all those people, they're great directors. They got where they are today for a reason, but, I mean, I don't know. Like, when you go into one of their movies, you know exactly what you're getting.
Exactly. I'm very rarely surprised.
Right. I'm very rarely disappointed as well.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. But I'm very rarely surprised, and we're kind of at a point, especially with the podcast, like, we want to be... shocked and blown away, even if it's in a bad way.
Oh yeah, I would hard agree.
But especially in a good way, I want to watch something different, and I want to support art.
Especially the indie films. Yeah. Courtney loves the indie films.
Yeah, Courtney's our resident, like, indie person. I'm more like sci-fi horror. Yes. And then we're both kind of, like, into the horror.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of, like, span that spectrum.
Yes.
Yeah. We're just so perfectly matched.
It's true.
Oh, I love you.
I love you.
All the emotions after this film. So this came out in 2019, so there's no nostalgia factor or history with this film.
Mm-hmm.
Courtney, was this your second or third watch?
This would be my third watching of it.
Okay, yes. This was my first watch. Will not be my last. I will definitely watch this movie again. I will make Tyler watch it with me. He'll enjoy it, I think. Tyler's a little newer to the horror indie stuff. That's always been kind of, that part of our relationship has always been kind of separate.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'm trying to bring him into that little bit more.
Because what's nice about this one is I feel like it's less straight horror and more just psychological thriller. But also, I had written down that it is a thriller, romantic, dark comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the few that I actually think every single person that I know who, if you're ever asking me, what should I watch next? Like, this is, all it is there's a little bit of violence, a little bit of swearing. There's not even, like, nudity, mm-mm, nothing like that. It's not even gory. It's not scary. It's just four people in a home, basically.
Yeah, it's tension.
It's tension.
I mean, like you said, it's a thriller. That's what it is.
And it's funny, though, too. That's what surprised me.
Yeah, with some of the most beautiful... I kept waiting. I don't know. Am I getting ahead of myself? Do we want to talk about characters first?
We talk about whatever.
Okay, let's talk about the characters.
Yes.
So I kept waiting for... So Bill Skarsgård and Micah Monroe, Mickey and Jules... I kept waiting for their relationship to just go sour, be kind of shit or shallow,
mm-hmm,
but it wasn't. It was so deep. And they're very young, mm-hmm, so, you know, like, it's kind of, oh, that's the way these things go. No, it was so good, and they genuinely cared for each other. There were a few of the, like, frustrating horror tropes, But they were done in such a way, at least most of them, mm-hmm. where I liked the characters enough I could forgive them.
Yes.
Like when she runs and she thinks that he's about to kill Mickey, mm-hmm. says, I'll see you in hell, but he's letting him go.
Yes.
She's like, no! Because they didn't know she was still in the house. Yep. And he's like, oh, no. I mean, he wasn't abandoning her.
No.
Or anything. And she was like, oh, she just peeked around the corner.
It's just a misunderstanding.
It's a misunderstanding. So, while it's a little bit of the trope, they structure it in a way, okay, this needs to happen. Here's how to make it a little more believable so that it's not so cliche.
Yeah, I agree.
And I can deal with a cliche if you give me a believable reason for it to happen.
And make it look good, too, because that was the cinematography of the movie, which we'll talk about next. But yes, the characters, I actually had, I did watch like one YouTube video that was a review of it. He is called Movies and Munchies on YouTube. I like to credit my people. And he referred to Jeffrey Donovan's performance as he has this like reserved nuance, and I liked that a lot because and just the chemistry between all the characters is so natural and honest and believable. Like, I totally get sucked into this because I'm like, no, these aren't characters, this is happening. Like, they're just so great.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, we talked about how, Jeffrey and Kira, it was George and Gloria. George and Gloria were the crazy older people who owned the home. So George and Gloria, like, I very much got the impression, so he's a little bit of a psychopath, obviously.
No, yeah.
He's like, everyone's cardboard, they're not real. Maybe that's
sociopath.
Yeah, maybe that's sociopathy. I'm not sure, I can't.
Psychopath. He's crazy.
Yeah, I'm not a psychiatrist. I can't remember which one of those is the one where they think they're the only thing that's real. Mm-hmm. But he obviously has that one.
Yeah.
But he also loves Gloria, because he also... So typically, the way what I've read about whatever that mental disorder is, mm-hmm. is that they think they're the only ones that are real. But he's, like, projected that onto Gloria because he loves her so much. He's
so
like,
much.
Now, you and I are the only things that are real.
Yes.
Because he so genuinely loves her. And when he yells at her at the end, she's like, you've never yelled at me like that. They've been together for a very long time. They're mm-hmm. not young. And he just adores her. He's done... He's willing to kill these people. Obviously, he doesn't have guilt or empathy. Mm-hmm. But he strikes me as someone who's kind of laid back and chill enough where he's like, I don't want to make all this trouble. The only time it seems like he's killed anyone is for her.
Yes.
And other than that, he's like, I'll just live my little life with her and I don't care about anyone.
Because he even spares Sweetie Pie in that.
Right. So he's almost not entirely psychopathic or sociopathic mm-hmm. or whatever it is. Because he's
controlled in a lot of the scenes, too. Like, he never really shows a lot of fear mm-hmm. or breaking. He's just got that, like, kind of gleam the whole time of just, like, he knows that he's got it. He knows that he's going to be fine, and he's going to take care of Gloria. And that's what I love. Like, Keith had mentioned that he loved that the two couples, they both have very similar kind of relationships that are mm-hmm. actually healthy in their own way.
Right.
Where they do. It's like the guys just adore their women.
Yeah.
Like, even when they're introducing each other and Bill Skarsgård's like, this beautiful creature here. And then George is like, and this belle of the ball. Like, I mean, it's like stuff like that where it's like they just love their women and they're willing to do whatever for them.
Right. And that means that they're willing to do whatever at the expense of others around them.
Yes.
Which is obviously not okay.
Yes.
And obviously one of them takes that even further than the other. Because I think it's hilarious when they're robbing the gas station. And he's like, I can't get it open. And she's just like, ah! And hits the chips. And they're just so obviously, like, not thieves, but they're, like...
Hard on the amateur criminal.
They feel like they don't have any other option, obviously. You get a little bit of her tragic backstory. You never mm-hmm. find anything out about Mickey, mm-hmm. but it's kind of implied that it's there, too.
Yeah.
And he just wants to give her the best life.
They want to go to Florida.
Yeah.
And stop committing crime once they get to Florida.
Yeah, all they want to do is get enough money to open a business down there. And they want to open a shell shop.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all they want to do. And she comes in and she's like smashing the chips for intimidation. And he's like, I can't get it open. She's like, maybe we have to buy something. He's like, get a chocolate nut. a king-size chocolate. Yeah. And it's just so cute.
Just a, like, average, like, oh, they're a real couple. Like, I've done stuff like that, but not robbing someone. Yeah. But, you know, the dialogue.
Thank you for the clarification. At least don't admit it on the air.
Yes, never.
Never committed a crime.
Just the crime of being too sexy. Yeah.
I'm sexy and I don't know where. Insert sexy and no, I know it song.
They're so cute. I can't get over it. That's why when I try to sell people on this, I'm like, it is actually kind of a romance film, but like a good one, not like a cheesy one.
It's real.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they're like, they're just so stressed out and they're like, oh my gosh, shut the fuck up. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Or like, I didn't mean that, baby.
Right. Oh, but it's just so real and so cute. Like, she's giving him head in the car and, like, I don't
the
know.
The car wash.
That
okay,
was just so cute.
Yeah, to describe
I'm all into the roadhead, and Courtney's like, the car wash is so cute. So you can tell which one of us is the pure, beautiful angel, which one of us is not.
Oh, but I mean, like, if I had the opportunity, I mean, like, yeah, roadhead is always nice to give your partner.
Yeah, especially when it's Bill Skarsgård. This is a thirsty podcast.
No complaints here.
Yeah, it's just.
Or Micah Monroe, honestly. The whole Motley crew.
Yeah, just throw all of them in the car with me. It's fine. This is a thirsty podcast, and if you haven't figured that out by now, that's your problem.
We're inappropriate. It's fine.
Yeah.
But no, when he's... So the car wash, many, many women, if you're listening to this and you are a woman, you've probably done this to someone you're with, where, like, they're laying down, and you are on top of them, and you... If you have long hair, at least, you drape your hair down, and then it's like you have this little secret world, and your faces are just connected by your hair. And they call that a car wash, because then she kind of gently, like, just drags her hair over his face. And it was just so endearing and cute. Mm-hmm. And I remember instantly thinking, like, I'm fucked. Like, they're too cute. This is not going to end well.
Right. Well, it's just so innocent, too, because it's like his happy, safe place is, like, in her hair.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and I mean, Micah Monroe, so we know her from The Guest. She's also, at least last I saw.
She's in It Follows, too. I haven't seen it yet, but I need to watch it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either. So maybe we'll do it on here for a first watch. Maybe we'll
Because I love Micah Monroe.
Or we could do a live commentary or something.
Yeah.
That would be fun. We haven't tried one of those yet.
Yeah.
But she is in The Guest. And, I mean, she's just, like, pretty much the most beautiful person I've ever seen in my life. She's so naturally
and
pretty.
And she seems so cool, too. Like, not a girl that you want to even hate. You're just like, nah, I bet you're cool as fuck.
Right. And she's dating Steve from Stranger Things.
Oh, good for both of them, honestly. That makes me happy.
Steve the Hare Harrington.
Steve the Hare Harrington.
So, yeah. You get it, girl. I mean, unless you guys aren't dating anymore, and then I'm sorry.
And then I'm sorry, but I bet it was fun.
Yeah. I hope you car wash, Joe Curie. That sounds dirty.
It sounds dirty, but it's very adorable and innocent.
It's cute, and you could totally do it in public, and it'd be fine. People would stare, but who cares? They're going to stare at you anyway.
Right.
So, yeah, the characters. I mean, the little girl was... She did a great job. There just wasn't much there. She never had any lines or anything.
Yes, because also, so just to sum up, because we can do it quickly, the basic premise of the film. So, Mickey and Jules are trying to get down to Florida. Their car runs out of gas, and they come across the first house, and they break into it to try to steal stuff. And that's when George and Gloria, the owners of the house, return home. And in the meantime, they have gone to the basement and have discovered that they have a little girl locked up, probably like seven or eight.
Mm-hmm.
Locked up in the basement, and from there it is everyone, you know, like, it's basically the two couples pitted against each other trying to either keep or get the little girl out.
Right. Which, you know what, that's another thing that shows, I mean, they're not just these cold-hardened thieves and criminals, because they see the little girl, the entire movie is them stopping at nothing to get her out.
Mm-hmm.
Because they could have, there were several opportunities, they could have just left her there.
Oh, yeah.
They could have just left. And he even was a little bit... Now, I think that Mickey... Because at first he was kind of like, screw the kid, let's just leave.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's because he was indifferent to the child. Mm-hmm. I think that he was thinking of Jules. And he's like,
yes.
You're my first priority, and until you're safe, I can't care about anyone else.
It's true. So, Keith made the... Of course it's Keith, so he was just like, maybe this makes me an indifferent, cold person. I'd go out and I just anonymously call the cops.
We talked, yeah.
And hope that they get there in time. Like,
yeah, I brought that up too, that I told Courtney, like, really, okay, look, there are a few things about this movie you can pick apart that, I mean, it wouldn't completely collapse the film, but it's enjoyable enough, I think.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to do that.
Because also the issue, like, that I told Keith with that would be, well, what if they go away, call the cops, and then, you know, they've already run?
Right.
Because clearly this couple is, I mean, George is smart. He may be a psychopath, but he's very intelligent.
Most are.
And very charismatic. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I think the only issue there is that there is a chance that they would have called the cops would have showed up, and no one would have been there. And then the little girl, who knows what had happened to her. So instead they do. They stay and they're like, no, we're going to get her out so that we know she's going somewhere safer.
Right. Yeah. So they could have anonymously called the cops, but like us, if you enjoy the movie enough, you can come up with a reason why they can't call the cops.
Exactly.
And then it works and you can enjoy the film. So it's fine.
It's fine.
I also really love the ambiguity of the time period.
Definitely.
Because it looks like it's in the 70s, except it's modern day.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not in the 70s, but everything about it looks 70s.
Yeah, the colors especially.
The colors, the styling, the outfits, even Mickey and Jules' outfits are very, maybe not 70s so much, but they're a little bit 80s.
Yeah.
They're a little bit
maybe like late retro. 80s, early 90s tops.
Right. Yeah. I just, the color palette, there's a dog pooping across the road. Oh, and a pregnant woman smoking while she walks the dog. That's great. Yeah, let's
don't
do that. Awesome. Yeah, run down the road with your cigarette.
Don't do that.
You're 9 months pregnant. Okay. Yeesh. So anyway, sorry.
Shocking things you see here in Bismarck.
Wow. Okay. Well, so where was I? Oh, yeah. I like the ambiguity of the time period.
Definitely.
Like they've got the old like 70s or 80s TV. And he brings up, he's like, that's not normal. Like that's an old TV. But it fits in with the style of the house.
They are definitely, because that's, I get kind of an, it's almost like a very, like you said, like retro 70s, like Stepford Wife almost vibe. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's weird. Mean, they're both clearly, George and Gloria, I mean, aside from abusing a child.
Yes.
And having killed her parents, because I will say, it was so unsettling when they're like, Mickey and Jules are looking around the house, George and Gloria are not there. So they break into the house, they're looking for keys to the car, she's eating some cereal, which cereal comes back into play later, and they're looking around, and they walk by a video camera, or they toss it, I think.
Yeah, they toss the video camera.
And it turns on, and you see the back of a man holding a knife, you hear a baby screaming and a woman crying, and that's it, and you're like...
Oh, and I don't know if you caught, so there's a scene where... Gloria really wants to have a baby, is one of her problems. She really wants to have a baby, and she cannot. So she tries to tie Bill Skarsgård down and steal his man juices. And, crap, I forgot where I was going. Gloria pulls out an old scrapbook as she's kind of weirdly, you know, she tried seducing Bill Skarsgård, it doesn't work, so she's sewing in pictures. And if you look in one of the pictures when she's talking about the night that, like, he comes to, like, sweep her off her feet and take her away from her dad, in the picture, it's Gloria and George, and they look all happy, and it's very shadowed, but in the back, you see a dead body on the bed. And I was just like, oh, my God.
Yes, and Mickey notices it, too. They're so smart, though.
Yes.
Like, really, honestly, every mistake they make, almost every mistake... You can kind of forgive them for it. They're
It's very understandable.
They're dumb kids. They're, they're like maybe 20.
The fact that they make it as far as they do.
Yeah, is really good. Well, Bill Skarsgård is obviously a lot older than 20, but Micah Monroe looks very young, and they're meant to be early 20s. Like,
And immature on top of it, because they're ignorant criminals. So.
Right, and they probably didn't, I don't know if they even had parents. If they did, it seems like they weren't good. I mean, they just have, like, some trauma issues, and trauma regresses you mentally.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not their fault. So, pretty much all the mistakes they make are forgivable, and they're pretty smart, considering.
Oh, definitely.
So, their relationship was just so beautiful. You pointed out... He has Jules. Mickey has Jules' name tattooed on his hand in her handwriting. And I'm like...
I want that now.
I know!
I'd probably put it in a different place, but I want that now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You absolutely should.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, no, they're so cute. And I love, they remind me a lot of Keith and I, honestly. Because when he says, like, I'm the numbers guy, but you're the creative one. I was like, oh my god, that's us.
It is you.
Because I can't function with numbers at all. But Keith can.
Yeah.
But if you ask Keith to, like, write a poem, like, he would do better than he'd give himself credit for, but I would be better at it.
I feel that's how Tyler and I are, too. That's why our husbands, like, there's some,
we compliment each other.
There. They could be friends. They just haven't spent much time around each other. It's not like they
because they're already friendly.
Yeah, they're already friendly.
They're friendly.
They'll toss a football. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty much characters.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the aesthetic a little bit. Cinematography is phenomenal.
Flawless.
So perfect. If you want to get into cinematography, watch this film. Study this film. The cinematography builds tension. The soundtrack is great.
Oh, definitely, too, yeah.
But the soundtrack falls in that category. Okay, so for me, this one I didn't notice, which means it's very good.
Yes.
But to be a phenomenal soundtrack, I will notice how phenomenal it is.
Yes.
Or I'll notice how bad it is. This one was right, like, it complemented the film perfectly. I didn't really think about it. And that's fine. I'm fine with that.
Because also, yeah, sometimes it can be distracting almost if there's, like, too much. And this one didn't need that. No, like, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, that's a lit soundtrack.
Yeah. I mean, Quentin Tarantino with his music, like, that's a thing in and of itself.
That man knows music.
It's very stylized, so it's fine. But the cinematography just builds so much tension in and of itself. When they see the little girl in the basement, that scene.
Ooh, that scared me. That was the only jump scare of the movie is when you see her, because the way they have her shadowed, her eyes are just glistening.
Right, and... It made me question for a minute if this was a supernatural scary horror film.
I did
it's
that
not.
Too.
It's
not. Absolutely not. No.
No, it's not. It's actually...
But you wonder for a second, because she looks wrong.
Yeah. It's actually very realistic.
I mean, yeah.
It could... Stuff like this has happened. This is not out of the realm of possibilities.
Right. You stumble in the wrong house. That's literally all this is.
Right. Seriously. Although, there was one thing I noticed that was a... When their car broke down, Mickey and Jules... And she's like, we'll just walk to a gas station or wait for a car to drive by or whatever. He's like, we haven't seen a house in like 8 miles. But then they walk to the George and Julia's house. He's like, why is your door locked? This is a good neighborhood. I'm like, wait, is it a neighborhood or is it in the middle of nowhere?
Right.
I'm like, I mean, that doesn't make sense.
Because it seems like they're kind of out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, that's a nitpick. It doesn't matter. But that was one thing I noticed. I was like, you can't be in the middle of nowhere and in a good neighborhood. So, I mean, if I lived in the middle of nowhere, I'd lock my doors because I'm in the middle of nowhere and I don't have neighbors, like, watching, so...
Yeah, that you could run and be like, hey, there's trouble.
Yes, I noticed someone breaking into your home, so I called the police.
No, but the shots in this are just so... I really love anytime it shoots to the beachy shots. It's like old retro 8mm film where it's kind of out of focus, but it's really beautiful. I love it just so much. And the shot where she, at one point, Jules gets free for a minute and she climbs up a laundry chute. And the whole shot is literally just the laundry chute, her, and then just like black.
Yes.
And I loved it.
And if any of you have read Nosferatu, I have not watched the show on AMC yet. I love Nosferatu, the book.
Mm-hmm.
I'm scared to watch the show. That's just kind of how I operate. I'll watch it eventually. Yeah. I don't know if they do the laundry chute scene in the show. But if we have any listeners who have read Nosferatu, you'll know what I'm talking about. And the laundry chute scene is so tense. And that's what this reminded me of. And I was a mega fan, so...
Yes! Mm-hmm. But no, it was so, and like, right down to their wardrobe, which, that falls out of cinematography, but at least still, like, the technical aspect. I mean, their costumes were perfect, the colors in every scene just really, I feel like, added to whatever atmosphere needed to be added to, and I just, I'm blown away by how just pretty and pleasant this movie is to watch, despite the content.
Right, it kind of helps even out the content a bit, because I don't mind watching a movie that's just completely uncomfortable and disturbing to watch.
Oh, yeah.
But this was almost like, if I'm like, need a comfort movie, but want some tension, horror, thriller stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I could curl up on the couch with a blanket and a glass of wine and watch this. It's also not that long. It's an hour and a half.
Yeah, perfect, really.
So it's a really nice length. We like long movies, but we don't want every movie to be 3 hours long.
Because that's the one silver lining. If it's an hour and a half, it's you have to try to make an hour and a half movie drag. So
yeah, the pacing is impeccable.
Oh, yeah, because it just gets right to it. I was never bored or like, mm-hmm. oh, my God, I wish they'd cut this out. Like, no, everything yeah. in this film needs to and should be in there.
And I never felt like there was repetitive stuff just to draw it out. In Jessica Jones, the first season, those of you who have watched Jessica Jones will know what I'm talking about, where it honestly could have been cut in half, because for almost 3 or 4 episodes, they're trying to capture this guy. They capture him. He gets away. They recapture him, and then he gets away. And then they recapture him, and then he gets away. Because they just needed time. And it's like, they didn't have enough story, which it's fine. Just have a 5-episode season. It's okay.
Exactly.
It's Netflix. No one cares.
Or do like flashbacks or something. Build lore, you know, something else.
Yeah, something. There was none of that here. Everything made sense. It went along. There was no, I got away recapturing. It was great. I liked it.
Yeah, because there's not even a lot of silence to begin with, because at every minute, they're either engaging with, you know, part of the other couple, or they're talking to each other to try to get out.
Yeah.
Oh my god, and the tongue ring scene.
Yes, that was probably the cringiest, like, body horror thing. I have a lot of piercings. I don't have a tongue ring, but I have a lot of piercings, and I was, like, almost couldn't watch that. Because I will say that that was a really long tongue ring.
That was an extremely long tongue ring, I thought.
Okay, I don't have a tongue ring. I could be wrong, so mm-hmm. please extend me some grace. But like I said, I have a lot of piercings, and Courtney has tattoos, so she's been in a tattoo piercing shop. Yes. I've never seen a tongue ring that with a post that long.
Yeah, because he does. He just rips it. He tries to rip it out of her tongue so that he can use it to pick the lock, which he does successfully, at least for one of them. But yeah, I did kind of wonder. I was like, I feel like that would barely make it in there, even if you got the ball off. Because also, I feel like you would have just lost it in there at some point.
Yeah.
But we will overlook that because this movie is just so much fun.
It is, yeah.
And it is very fun, too. Like, while there is, like, it's kind of got a little bit of sadness in the ending. And there is obviously, like, the tension of they're in these crazy people's house and they need to get out. There is really nothing that I feel would unsettle a lot of people that much. Especially, like, if you've made it through Breaking Bad or Game of Thrones, the villains is a walk in the park. Please watch it. It's fun.
And there's really, well, I won't say there's no sexual assault. There kind of is.
There,
but it's,
she tries to tie him down to make a baby, which I do think broadens the, like, well, yeah, obviously he doesn't really want this, but also, it's sadder because, like, she wants this because she, you know, apparently her husband's sperm is not great, so she wants a young virile man's, and he tries. I loved, back to cinematography though, I loved when he's trying to get her to sleep with him because he knows it's the only way out.
Mm-hmm.
And so he visualizes Micah Monroe.
Yes.
When she, like, Jules. Goes down and it's Kyra Sedgwick, and then she pops back up and it's Micah Monroe. I was like, oh.
I know. It's so, because he loves
And it's not
her.
Successful. So it's attempted, but it is at least not successful.
Right. Because, so it's like, I mean, it is sexual assault is what mm-hmm. she's trying to rape him.
Yes.
I mean, I know it's maybe a little hard. I mean, it's harder to rape a man in the way that she was attempting to.
Yeah.
She wanted to be penetrated by him, which
yes.
obviously you can't do with a flaccid penis.
Yeah. So he's tied down, which right. also just would make it difficult, I
right.
feel.
So she had to get him hard. And she didn't, like, try to do anything until he got hard.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit, but it's still sexual assault.
Yeah.
So, triggers for that, but if you're a woman, I don't know. Maybe it would. Sexual assault triggers. We're just going to say sexual assault triggers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But besides that, the gore's really not bad.
Yeah. And she's unsuccessful. She doesn't rape
yes.
him.
Yes.
So
mm-hmm. And like
away.
I said, there's really no actual nudity to speak of. Like,
yeah.
she gets down to, like, lingerie, but that's it.
And good for you, Kyra Sedgwick mm-hmm. and Kevin Bacon.
So, yeah. Getting it.
You look. Kyra Sedgwick, she's so underrated as an actress. She's amazing.
Oh,
I think she can be so striking, and for some people in a bad way, and for some people in a good way.
Yeah,
she's very unique, and her features are very sharp.
It's true.
She's not like the Hollywood actress we all went to the same plastic surgeon kind of person.
Yes, yes.
I love her.
She's au natural.
I think she's beautiful. I adore her. She's so talented. She's awesome. And I mean, she and Kevin Bacon have been married for 40 years. I mean, an insane amount of time. They were married when he was in Tremors.
No,
Tremors. I know, because she was pregnant, I think, with their first child.
Aww.
And he was kind of down on his luck. He hadn't gotten any films for a while after Footloose. And he went in and, his agent was like, I got you Tremors. I mean, you got to pay the bills. And he's like, okay. So he signed the contracts. And he and Kyra Sedgwick, pregnant Kyra Sedgwick, were walking down the sidewalk, and he fell to his knees and looked at the heavens and said, I can't believe I'm in a movie about underground worms.
I love that movie so much.
Well, and he's come back and been like, that was such a great movie to be in. But, you know, at the time, it was a B-horror film that was supposed to be a joke. But it's a cult classic, and it's genuinely good.
Oh, yeah. I love watching that.
Yeah, we'll cover that sometime. So, yeah. Anyway, Mommy. Kyra Sedgwick. Sorry, just a second. Okay, we're back from our little Calvin break and talking about Kevin Bacon and Tremors, because that's amazing. If you haven't seen Tremors, go watch it. It's good.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, I think there's not, like, a ton to the movie. It's pretty straightforward. Like, yeah. The pacing's great. I'm trying to think if there's any other standout moments in there.
Just really the dialogue altogether. Mm-hmm. The dialogue is really incredible for everyone, too.
Oh, when Mickey and George are playing each other on the couch, and George is like, I'm a good salesman. Like,
I want to sell you.
Yep. He's like, I don't think you want to get caught by the law. And then Mickey's like, you have a little girl tied up in your basement, so I don't think you want to call the police either. Oh my gosh, when they got caught. It was genuinely unsettling when Mickey wakes up tied to the bed and Kyra Sedgwick is behind the thing changing, and like the way she's pulling the things off the thing and talking to him and grabbing a wig, and you're like, I know what's going to happen, but I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, is she going to take off her face? Is she like...
is she a robot?
What the heck? She kind of acts a little robotic.
Yeah.
Her with the baby, Ethan. We got to talk about Ethan.
Yeah, Ethan, the fake baby.
Oh, when she... Yeah, it's... I mean, when she first walks in, when they find Mickey and Jules in the house, what was your first thought regarding the baby when they walked in?
I really did. I knew it was a gamble either way, but mine and Keith's first thought was, we instantly looked at each other and we were like, I don't think that's a real baby. Because while it was tiny enough and wrapped up enough that, like, yeah, maybe it was sleeping, it just, there was no sound whatsoever, no movement. And it just, there's just something about it that I was like, I don't think that's, I agree with you though. There was a chance where I was like, is that a dead baby? Which would have been way worse. Mm-hmm. It just ends up being a doll that her mother gave her. But yeah, it was creepy because that did, I was like, if that is a baby though, that's even worse. But
yeah,
then it ends up not being.
Right. I didn't know. Or my thought was, I don't know that I didn't notice the baby she was holding for quite a while until the very end. So I hadn't really noticed. Again, this is a first watch for me. That it like, oh, it wasn't moving. Because I was looking at everyone's faces a lot more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I was like, oh, it's a baby they stole from someone.
Yeah, that too. Or something. Mm-hmm.
I thought that. But then when Mickey and Kyra are looking through, Mickey and Gloria are looking through the photo album, and she's like, oh, that's me and Ethan. And she's holding him like a baby. And then Mickey says, so how old would he be now? And she goes, who? And he says, your son. Oh, well, the good Lord never saw fit to give us children. He's like, you just told me you had a picture with Ethan wrapped up as a baby. And you're like, something's not. I thought.
She cray cray.
Right. So when that happened, I thought maybe she has these babies and she kills them and she's either giving birth to them or stealing them from other people and like kill them when they reach a certain age and get a new one.
That would have been fucked up.
Right. So, I mean, maybe that makes me mega fucked up because it like ended up being a doll, which is honestly fairly, Look, if this poor mentally ill woman just needs a doll to care for,
just give her the doll.
That's not that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the little girl in the basement, we find out, George, in his own fucked up way,
spared her.
Spared her because Gloria's like, get rid of her. Like, kill her.
Yes.
And he couldn't bring himself to do that. So he's not, like, so far gone. I think he's just really messed up.
It's where he only shows empathy for very specific people in very specific moments, it seems.
Yeah, and maybe he has some trauma.
Maybe.
In his past or something. So he, in his mind, doesn't make it okay.
Yes.
But in his mind, how brilliant of the writers and director to create such a sympathetic villain that in his mind he was like, oh, this is the kinder fate because I don't want to kill her. When really, I mean, okay, ultimately, because she was rescued, yes, it's good she didn't die. But if that had been her fate for her whole life, it would have been better to die. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just being tied up in a basement, no room to walk.
Yeah, which her muscles would have been atrophied. I said that when they took off running. Absolutely. I mean, they didn't seem to give her any exercise. Because she wouldn't leave the basement.
No.
So she didn't seem like she'd ever been out of there.
No, like, they're clearly feeding her, but nothing else, basically.
Yeah. There are toilet issues with this.
Yes, there are bathroom issues.
Because the little girl doesn't have a bathroom, and they don't seem to be giving her bathroom breaks. And then the cop says this car broke down a couple days ago, and Mickey and Jules have been tied to a post and stuff, so, I mean, they'd at least have peed on themselves, if not shit.
Which, yes.
I mean, I get nervous diarrhea, so I would have been covered in poop. So, boys, if you'd like to hit me up and slide into my DMs.
This is such a fun one.
It is. We're a little more with, or I'll speak for myself, I'm a little more with it this episode.
Yes, so. Absolutely. And again, this is a pretty straightforward one. And again, it's one of the more fun ones. A lot of the ones we suggested, they're either fucked up or gory, or they're, you might not get it, like Rubber, where it's like, it's a very specific kind of niche audience. But I feel like anybody could watch this and have a great time.
Even if you don't want to watch it again, I don't think that you're going to regret watching it.
Absolutely not. No, yeah. It's great.
And the acting's just astounding, so.
Yeah, losing Mickey is hard, though.
Yeah. But when Jules dropped Ethan and he broke and Gloria was, like, sobbing and so upset. So, obviously, like, I'm not, like, as severely, like, traumatized or mental issues as Gloria, she needs to be institutionalized.
Yes, she needs help.
No fault of her own, it doesn't seem, but it's just a fact. But as someone who struggled with infertility and wanting a child and not being able to have one, I have one now, thankfully. Thank you, science. Yes. IVF. But it was a long road, and that just, like, I got really emotional because I never projected, like, onto a doll or an animal or anything.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, like, people who can't have children or choose not to, but from my perspective and Gloria's, can't have children, they tend to get animals or pets or something that they can mother.
You need something to love, yeah.
Something to mother because that's a very normal thing. And I just, because that was her baby. Like, for her...
That was her baby.
That was no different than if Jules had dropped an actual newborn onto the floor.
Yes.
And, again, this movie's called Villains because they're all villains.
Yes.
It's kind of like the movie Hostiles, which I don't think you've watched. Mm-mm. So, the movie Hostiles, it's like a Western. It's got Christian Bale, and it's about, like, the Confederates, because it was pre-Civil War, but the soldiers, American soldiers, and the Indians. And it shows the Indians just butchering this white family. Mm-hmm. But then it shows a white family torturing these Indians. Mm-hmm. So the point of the film is really that, like, they're both hostile.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's not Native Americans and it's not hostile Americans. It's just hostiles.
Yes.
And that's how this film reminded me of that, is they're all villains and then they're all sympathetic and they all, like, have love.
So much depth to the characters.
I've never seen a movie like this before. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's probably one out there. I haven't seen it, though. So please,
not.
Let us know. Email us or tweet us or something if there's another movie like this, because I want more. So.
Yes.
Yeah. That's.
But yeah.
I think that's all Mickey could have ducked and driven the car.
I did, yeah. There's. So Mickey sacrifices himself at the end. They do rescue the little girl. Obviously, he's there with his girl, and you see George right in front of the car, and there is the moment where you realize that he's going to sacrifice himself by driving into George so the girls can escape.
Because George has a gun,
and he is ready to shoot, and he just does it. And I do agree. And while it still could have obviously hit him somewhere and messed him up, I think he could have maybe walked away had he ducked as well, because you're just going straight forward.
Yeah.
I mean, if he had ran anyway, either way, it was a tight driveway. You can't really do much anyway, but...
George has got a gun.
Then I cry because Mickey dies, but it's okay because the girls make it down to Florida and they open Mickey's shell shop.
I know! Oh my gosh,
sweet.
I held it together pretty well. Like, I see them on the beach and the little girl, Sweetie Pie.
Yeah, they called her Sweetie Pie.
I'm assuming that Jules gave her a new name.
Probably.
And... she's got her hair in French braids, and she's playing on the beach with Jules, who Jules talks about how her parents abandoned her.
Yes.
She and her little sister didn't realize that their parents weren't coming back for about a week when they ran out of cereal.
Yeah, that was a sad one.
That was very sad. So Jules is there, they're playing on the beach, and then it shows their shell shop. And it's Mickey's Shell Shack. And they named it after Mickey. And it was just like, I cried. I just cried. My mascara was running. I was crying. It was beautiful.
Okay, because I start crying as soon as Micah Monroe does. Because she does one last car wash for Mickey. And Mickey gets shot and it takes him a minute to die. It does. It takes him a minute to die. And in his last minutes, he's so brave that all he's doing is comforting her and telling her that it's going to be okay. And that she's going to be okay. And I'm just like, oh my God, Mickey died. Such a great dude.
Because he kind of resolved to, like, I feel like he knew he wasn't getting out of there.
Yes.
From the moment that she got out of the cuffs and he didn't. And then George came downstairs and saw him. And he was like, I'm going to probably be tortured. I'm going to die. My number one is to get Jules out of here. And then my second priority is to get the little girl out.
Yes.
Which, like, oh my gosh. Like,
I do. I love you, Bill Skarsgård. And I love you that much more after this one.
When George was saying, like, oh, just let us go. We don't want the cops involved. We just want to leave. We'll just leave you alone. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I was like, yeah, that makes sense. And George was like, what about Sweetie Pie? And Mickey says, I don't give a fuck about her. She's the whole reason I'm down here. I bought that. Like, yeah, that could be... I actually wouldn't have even disliked Mickey for saying that.
No, because, I mean, fair.
Fair.
She bites him.
And he didn't care that much anyway. It was more Jules. But then he winks at her. And you're like, no, he, like, genuinely is like, we're getting her out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Like the good guy he really is.
Yeah. He's not Pennywise, he's Mickey.
He is the opposite of Pennywise. He's so precious.
He's quarter smart.
Quarter
smart. Yes! Oh god. Quarter smart. Oh, okay. Whew. So, yeah, what should we rate? Oh, Ethan dolls, maybe?
out of 10 Ethan dolls.
Or five.
Five
Ethan dolls. What do you give this movie?
For me, it's honestly at least a 4. It's probably a 4, I would say. I just love it. I do.
It's a 4 for me because it's a solid movie. And I think any complaints can be ignored.
Yes.
I think any little plot point things, honestly, I feel like it had less plot cliches and plot pushes than The Void.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because The Void, we've talked about, I didn't care about the characters at all.
No,
I
was not at all.
No, I was interested to see what happened next, but I didn't really care. Mm-hmm. Whereas this movie, I mean, I cried.
Oh, yeah, when you lose Mickey, it's hard. You care a lot about him by that point. And I told Macy, this movie really does defy genre. Because, well, I think first and foremost, it probably is a thriller just because of the element of, you know, all the tension of them being in the house. It's also kind of dark romantic comedy. It's just, I just think it's a really great film overall.
Yeah.
So.
Super solid. We both give it a 4 for an overall score of 8. check it out. It's super awesome. Highly recommend.
You'll like it. I really do. I think even some of you who are listening to this thinking, I don't know about... No, you probably will, actually. You'll just surprise yourself.
If you're listening to our podcast, you will like villains. So, yeah. It's fantastic. Courtney, are you reading, watching, listening to anything?
I will be reading through more of Saga. I'm on the 7th comic, and I'm really excited to read it.
Prepare your emotions.
I just finished reading Ram Dass' Walking Each Other Home, which if you're ever wanting a good book about death and letting go of death and stuff, that's a great one. And then I am watching Misfits, because Robert Sheehan.
Also, it's just a solid story of
realistic. It really is. Because actually, while I love Robert Sheehan, Nathan can be insufferable at times. I actually really love the African-American couple.
Yes.
How they can't, like, touch. Oh my god, there's one scene where he, like, puts his hand under a glass table and hers is on top, and I almost cried. I was like, okay, I love these guys a lot. And then, of course, Ramsay Bolton.
You wait, girl. There's, like, stuff coming that you're just like...
I know, I'm not ready for it.
What?
I've seen a lot of Robert Sheehan.
Yeah, he's... Robert Sheehan in that show is a narcissist. He's, like...
Hard.
In Umbrella Academy, it's almost like he's the same character, but he's not. He's a much...
He's grown up a little, because he is capable of showing empathy and, like, growing, whereas Nathan is just... It's like a tick with him. He can't be that good.
Yeah, Klaus is... eccentric and traumatized.
Yes.
Whereas Nathan's just a narcissist.
Yeah, kind of a dick.
And I mean, like, lied about molestation, and, like, he's really just mean to people. Save me, Barry! I do love that part.
Save me, Barry! It's like, no, he really thinks his name is Barry!
Yeah, like, that's not even his name. That episode was weird, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I honestly wasn't a huge...
It was very jarring in general. Like, it just felt like it all happened too fast, and I was like, all right, let's stop. This next season kind of picks it up.
It's all very British. I have to, like, mentally prepare myself to watch it just because it's so different from American television.
Yeah. Like, see, and I think that's why I love it, because I'm huge into the British stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm definitely a fan. It's just...
But it is. It's
different.
I can never watch more than, like, 2 episodes a day, because I need something just, like, funny or lighter-hearted. Because also the body count, I did not realize quite what the body count would be.
It's
a lot.
It's a gritty show.
Mm-hmm.
Very gritty. So, yeah.
What are you watching or reading?
I am just about to start Wolves of the Cala.
I'm so excited.
I was going to start it at work today and my headphones died, so I didn't. But, so I'm about to start that, waiting on Saga Volume 9 to come in the mail to start that. I watched Underwater yesterday. It was really solid. I mean, it was a solid creature feature. It wasn't emotional. It didn't change my life. It didn't bring me any... I didn't have any emotional reaction to it at all. It was a fantastic laundry folding movie.
Ooh, okay, yeah.
And you know what? Do not sell those short.
Mm-mm.
Because when something like Villains, I wouldn't have gotten any laundry folded.
No, so you get sucked in.
So, yeah, Underwater, super solid, great effects. Kristen Stewart is fine. I mean, she's never more than fine, unless you have a role written specifically for her, I think.
Yes.
Where it's like, this is for Kristen Stewart.
Yes.
And we're going to just do everything we can. So, she's beautiful, though. I mean, like...
Oh, and I like her as a person so much that I can forgive her for kind of having an acting ceiling, as it were.
Right, and I don't fault her for Twilight. Pay me millions of dollars to be in a shitty teen movie, too. I'll go for it.
I watched Twilight. Twilight is one of my favorite, like, shitty weather sick day movies, honestly.
Yeah, it's terrible, but who cares? Like, she got paid a bunch of money, and she's hot, so.
And Taylor Lautner.
I really like her way more, like, Underwater with the bleached, shaved head.
Ooh,
I
mean, yeah.
It works. Kind of the Leslie vibe.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
A lot. I'm a super fan. So, Kristen Stewart, I really like you.
Yay!
You know, I mean, you've made it farther in Hollywood than I have, so.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you're good doing for you. Something right.
I'm just doing a home podcast about your movies, so. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it, so. Check it out. It's worth it. I don't know that it's worth a $5 rental, but if it's free on streaming or it's just a buck or two,
yeah,
I say go for it. Just to see it.
So. I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah. So if you want to get in contact with us, you can email us confettipod@gmail.com. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @confettipod. We'd really love if we don't ask for money for support, but it'd be awesome if you could give us a 5-star rating and a little review on iTunes to help get our podcast out there, or give us a shout out on Twitter. That'd be super awesome, super helpful, and doesn't cost you anything.
Pretty please.
Yay. We'll love you forever, even though we won't know who you are. Bye.
Bye.
Man juices.
I know. I was like, where was I going with that? Can we pause it and go back and play? Actually probably the easiest. Balls.